Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord, we are glad and thankful to be here this morning to honor you and to receive blessings from your holy word. Be with us in our worship and bless our fellow worshipers and us for your mercy's sake. Teach us, encourage us, strengthen us, and enable us to flee temptation and honor you in all that we say and do. In your saving name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is Rock of Ages, Cleft for Me. Please rise. I invite you to follow along with our order of service that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the middle of page 2. We begin this worship service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, therefore we stand in awe of you. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and each other that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from this sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God be merciful to me, a sinner. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and gives them his Holy Spirit. May the Lord, who has begun this good work in us, bring it to completion in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord be with you. We pray. Merciful Father, your patience and loving kindness toward us have no end. Help us to fully trust in your Son Jesus as our rock and our Redeemer. Grant that by your Holy Spirit we may always think and do those things that are pleasing in your sight. We pray this through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Our first scripture reading for this morning is taken from Romans chapter 18. We read verses 18 through 30. These are some of the most encouraging, most comforting, and most powerful words in all of Scripture. Paul writes, "For I conclude that our sufferings at the present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is going to be revealed to us. In fact, creation is waiting with eager longing for the sons of God to be revealed. For creation was subjected to futility, not by its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in the hope that even creation itself will be set free from slavery to corruption in order to share in the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that all of creation is groaning with birth pains right up to the present time. And not only creation, but also we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we eagerly await our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. Indeed, it was for this hope that we were saved. But hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for something we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with patient endurance. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we should pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that are not expressed in words. And he who searches our hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to God's will. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Because those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, so that he would be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Our gospel reading for today is from Matthew chapter 14. We read verses 13 through 21. Glory to you, O Lord. We see Jesus miraculously providing four people in this account of the feeding of the 5,000. That's just counting the men that were there. This is a reminder that Jesus can provide for us no matter what the circumstances. We can rest and trust on the rock-solid promises he has given us. When Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place to be alone. When the crowds heard this, they followed him on foot from the towns. When Jesus got out of the boat, he saw a large crowd. He had compassion on them and healed their sick. When evening came, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is already late. Send the crowds away so that they can go out to the villages and buy food for themselves." But Jesus said to them, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They told him, "We have here only 5 loaves and 2 fish. "Bring them here to me," he replied. Then he instructed the people to sit down on the grass. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. After looking up to heaven, he blessed them. He broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave the food to the people. They all ate and were filled. They picked up 12 basketfuls of what was left over from the broken pieces. Those who ate were about 5,000 men, not even counting women and children. This is the word of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Nicene Creed on page 7. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate, he suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, I Leave All Things to God's Direction.
Let us rise. Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 44, verses 6 through 8. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. And who can proclaim as I do? Let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, our rock, and you feel redeemed. How safe do you feel in this world of change, turmoil, and disasters? Well, one word that is often used for people who feel very safe and secure is rock solid. If you have a rock solid friend, that's someone whom you can rely on. Someone who will be there. Based upon Christ's forgiving love, his powerful word. We also hope that our future financial investments are rock solid, safe from the financial upheavals and the up and down turns of the stock market. But most of all, we pray that our trust is in our rock solid Savior. And that's what Isaiah tells us this morning. He says, the Lord is our rock. First of all, he's rock solid in his care for us. Isaiah is saying in chapters 40 to 44 of his book that in spite of all the unfaithfulness of his people, he's always, always there for them. He remains faithful. He chose his children, the children of Israel, and promised them his blessings. In chapter 40, we read these familiar and very soothing words. Comfort, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem. Cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for he has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In chapter 41, we read these awesome words. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. In chapter 43, we read these awesome words. But now, thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not. For I redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. As chaplain for my home congregation in Messiah Lutheran Church in Eau Claire, I've used those verses time and time and time again to give comfort, consolation, courage, and confidence to so many people that are going through emotional, spiritual, and physical trials and troubles. And then in chapter 44, the chapter of our text, Isaiah assures his people that he and he alone can be the one that can be trusted because he alone is rock solid in his care for us. Therefore, as we heard in those three sections, there's no reason for fear. There's no reason to tremble. There's five names that God gives to himself that assures us we don't need to be afraid in this life. He calls himself King, Redeemer, Lord of Hosts, First and Last, and God. And he has another one, he calls himself Rock. All those names show us how God is our rock, solid in his care for us. First is king. We know what a king does. A king rules. Even more than that, a king fights for his people. Our Lord God battled for us. He battled for us against Satan, defeated Satan in his death and his resurrection. He battled for us and took away Satan's power from us by taking away our sins, paying in full the guilt and punishment of every one of our sins. He took our place and served our time in hell when God the Father forsook him on the cross. His victory over sin and death assures us of resurrection to everlasting life and peace with our Heavenly Father. For our God also does rule over us, not with weapons of war or soldiers, but with his powerful word of love and forgiveness. He also calls himself Redeemer. Redeemer is one who sets a person free by paying a ransom price. The Lord God of Israel redeemed his people from Egypt. He said, "I am the Lord. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. I will rescue you from their bondage, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments." That word redeem appears 24 times in chapters 40 to 66 of Isaiah. That word emphasizes the activity of our God, what he does for us. And he alone can redeem his people who constantly fall away, stray, stumble, fall into sins. And what's the ransom price he paid for all of us? His shed blood, his suffering, his death upon the cross. We're bought back and saved, set free forever. Another name, Lord of Hosts. Here the Lord, L-O-R-D, is capitalized and always indicates that means Jehovah. The name God called himself, also called Yahweh. That's the word that indicates the God of promise, the God of forgiveness, the God of compassion, the God of mercy. This Jehovah God is the Lord of Hosts, the host of all the angel armies, the host of heaven and earth, all of creation he's in control of. So when you hear that term, Lord of Hosts, think of God being all-powerful over things in heaven, over things on earth, over the demons, over angels. Another name, he's first and last. It's one of those mind-boggling concepts. God never began. He always existed. And will always exist. Before the nation of Israel was, before Moses, before Abraham, before Adam, before he created the world, before he said, "Let there be," he was there. When he brings this world's history to an end and recreates a new heaven and a new earth, he'll still be there. He'll be there with us throughout all eternity. And the last name that he gives himself is God. In the Hebrew, Elohim. The Lord is the only one worthy to be named this. Martin Luther wrote, "A God means one from which we are to expect all good and to which we are to take refuge in all distress." Our triune God alone is the source of all that is good. And he alone cares and provides for us in all of our distresses. He's the only God. So, first of all, we realize the Lord is our rock. He's rock solid in his care for us. Secondly, we see he's rock solid in his prophecies. Read verse 7 of our text. "And who could proclaim as I do? Let him declare it and set it in order for me. Since I appointed the ancient people, the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them." In this verse, the Lord assures his people that there's no one like him, not only in his care for us, but also in his promises to us. Not only has God taken care of his Old Testament people and also promised them things, But he knows in advance what the future is going to bring. God alone can foretell the future of his actions and the actions of the world. Can any God created by human beings do that? No. All man-made gods are mute and silent about the future. Only our God is 100% correct in predicting the future. He never makes a mistake, never has, and never will. He says his prophecies are sure even back to the ancient times, to Adam and Eve, when he promised them, you eat of that forbidden fruit, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you will surely die. And they did. Even though Satan lied and said, oh no, you will not surely die, you'll be like gods. But our God made also another prophecy back then. He said that a child of Eve would come and would destroy the power of Satan or mankind, crush him. And of course, that prophecy also has come to pass. And God sent his son Jesus into this world, who came and suffered and died for us, crucified on the cross, and rose from the dead. As we see fulfilled in Galatians, when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we may receive the adoption as sons. In these verses here, God is issuing a challenge to all the so-called gods of the world. He says, is there anyone in the past who has had a 100% correct record in predicting the future? And then speak up now. Is there anyone who wants to volunteer and try his hand at predicting the future and getting it right 100% of the time? Let him speak up now. Our God has. In fact, his record of the past proves it. Deuteronomy 18, the Lord says this about the true and false prophets. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. And if you say in your heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord has not spoken? When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. Only God prophesies the future. So, he's rock solid in his promises. And finally, we see he's rock solid in the fact that he is the only God. Read in verse 8. Do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. The Lord applies everything we've read now to our life. There's no need for trembling. There's no need to be afraid. There's no need for fear in our daily life. They and we, the Lord says, you've all been witnesses. You've seen what I promised. You've seen it fulfilled, the accuracy of every single one of my prophecies. We've witnessed the fulfillment of his promises and of his great care for us. Even though we sin every single day of our lives, in our miserable, sinful thoughts, the words we say to each other, the actions we do deserve God's wrath and punishment. Instead, he showers upon us his forgiving love in his son, Jesus. And he says, is there a God besides me? I know not one. Our triune God alone is the rock. The first reference to the Lord being called a rock is found, is spoken by Moses and found in Deuteronomy 32. Moses says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice, righteous and upright is he." There's at least 14 references of God being a rock in the book of the Psalms. David writes in Psalm 18, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." Again in Psalm 62, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved." Jesus proclaimed that he and his words are the rock upon which we shall build our faith when he said in Matthew 7, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock." Finally, the Apostle Paul calls Jesus that rock in 1 Corinthians 10, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So we see, day by day, the flood of trials and troubles, tribulations, disasters, temptations, trying to swallow us up, drown us, his people. The Lord assures us he's the only rock to which we can cling. He'll remain ever firm and steadfast. The waters may swirl all around that rock. As long as we cling to that rock, he provides safety in the midst of all dilemmas and disasters. The amazing thing is, he gives us the ability, the power to cling to that rock through his word and the Holy Spirit. There is no other rock. He alone redeemed and saved us. He alone protects and cares for us. He alone perfectly predicts the future and always has it come out the way he predicted it, fulfills all his promises. He gives us his word. We too need to hear day after day after day these same words: "Do not fear, nor be afraid." Our confidence and our trust are built upon our Lord, our King, our Redeemer, our first and our last, and our rock. Apart from him, no safety, no redemption, no salvation exists. Even apart from our triune God, there is no God. Amen. Let's rise. The peace of our Lord, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Get in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit.
If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We continue with our prayers for today. In our prayers, you'll notice in the bulletin that today is the last Sunday for our East Bay congregation. So we say a prayer for the Lord for their farewell service. Are there any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Jesus, our Savior, our Rock, we come before you, first of all, praising you for the many blessings you have given to us. We praise you today especially for the blessings you've given to our East Bay congregation for over 55 years. We thank you for the faithful pastors who have preached and taught your word there, and for the many members who have labored faithfully in your kingdom while serving their congregation. We also thank you for the time we've had together, serving each other and serving with each other in your kingdom for the past 7.5 years. You have been with us, growing us closer to each other and closer to you in both good times and bad, through the joys and sorrows during the years of my ministry there in St. Stephen East Bay. We cannot thank you enough for your grace and blessings on these years you have given to us. We also ask, Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen all of our hearts during this time of transition and great change. Remove our doubts and fears and help us to trust in you, our Rock and our salvation, and to focus on your sure promises to be with us and to work all things for our spiritual and eternal good. Also help us to look back on our own lives and the history of our congregations and remember your astounding faithfulness each time challenges, distressing events, uncertainties, and changes of pastors took place. You've always provided, always guided, always sustained the people of this congregation, and ask you to do the same for all of us at this time as we combine together our congregations. Bless us with harmony, with brotherly love, and a spirit of cooperation, guided and directed by you as we go forward into this new chapter of service in your kingdom here in the Bay Area and throughout California. We also pray, Lord, that you'd bless Pastor Matthew Hanel as he deliberates the call to serve as our pastor. We ask that you, dear Good Shepherd, would bring a new shepherd to our flock just as soon as you see fit, and we pray that you would prepare the right man for that task. Above all, we pray, your will be done. On this day that is so full of mixed emotions, give us hope amidst the heartache that goodbyes in this life so often bring. Dry our tears with the wonderful memories and joys you have given us, and with a certainty that in you, through faith and fellowship with each other, we are never truly apart, and that we will in the end be together forever where there are no goodbyes in heaven. We trust in you, dear Jesus. We pray that you would increase our trust in you daily. In your guiding and saving name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less. Please rise. We continue on the bottom of page 10 with the service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly fitting, right, and spiritually beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in his name, there he is with them to shepherd his flock till he comes again in glory. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We give you thanks, O Lord our God, for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ and his cross. Give us your Holy Spirit that we may faithfully receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. In his name we pray as we join now in the prayer that he taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We continue with the words of institution. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of our Lord be with you always. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we ask those who are communicant members of St. Stephen Congregation or of a sister congregation in the Church of the Lutheran Confession come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at the direction of our ushers. We begin with those who are taking the Lord's Supper from the communion packets from their pews. Please get out those packets now. Please start with the bread. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given into death for your sins. And now take the wine. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now may this, the true body and true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in the one true faith until life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. And now, at the direction of the ushers, communicant members can come forward to receive the Lord's Supper at the altar. Please rise. We continue with the singing of the Nunc Dimittis on page 13. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. Our closing hymn for today is How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. We'll sing the verses you see printed in the bulletin. I invite you to stand for the last verse. You may be seated. Good morning. A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. I pray that you've been blessed through the message you've heard today. I'd like to extend a thank you and a warm welcome to my father, Pastor Mark Bernthal, and my mom, Ruth, Please greet them as you leave the church today and say hi. They're here helping us pack up to move, and we'll get to spend some time with them doing some California tourist things in the next couple of days as well. You know, give them a treat and not just put them to work the entire time in this heat. A few announcements. Also, a welcome to our guests and visitors who are with us today. On behalf of our congregation, we welcome you and invite you to sign our guest book and invite you to come and worship with our Savior with us again in the near future. As far as announcements go, this afternoon we'll be heading to Hayward for our worship service there. My father will be preaching the sermon there again today. And the East Bay, as I mentioned in the prayer today, they're having their farewell service. So this will be the final service at Grace Lutheran, which we've been renting in East Bay for now approximately, I think, more than 10 years. So that congregation is effectively combining with ours here. And for the time being, there will be just one service on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. going forward. When the Lord deigns to give us a new pastor, we can sort out the issues and see if we can start a preaching station somewhere in the East Bay, and Lord willing, that will happen in the future. But in the coming days and weeks, there will be just the 1:10 o'clock service here in Mountain View. Please check your mailboxes or the entryway table. There is a church calendar for the month of October. I apologize for getting that out a couple days late. We are a few days into October now. At our voters meeting last week, we did extend a call to Pastor Matt Hannell. He is the pastor in St. Matthew, Dallas. He's been the pastor there now for 20 years. He is also a classmate of mine in college and seminary, so don't hold that against him. He is a wonderful pastor and a very engaging man. And we pray for the Lord to give him guidance and direction as he considers our call. For this week as well, the loading day for our move will be Saturday, October 12th. So next Saturday we'll begin around 9 a.m. Anyone available to help load up the moving pods, please come by and at least carry a box or two and say hi. And we appreciate any help that we can get. Next Sunday will be the joint farewell worship service at 10 a.m. with a meal to follow at 11. The actual pulling out of the driveway moving day, Lord willing, will be October 15th. Are there any other announcements that I'm forgetting today? I do apologize that the microphone doesn't seem to be working today. I'm not sure what's wrong. I looked and everything seems to be checking out, so we will attempt to get that fixed before next week's service, because the farewell service would be sad if it didn't show up on the recording with all the microphones working correctly. So not sure what the technical issue is, but we'll try to get that fixed before next Sunday. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.